So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Because I built like a really large LGBT audience, like I guarantee you I've received more dick pics than you.
Probably.
It's really obscene how many dick pics. There was actually one that was really impressive.
Don't tell them that.
No, he got his butthole, his taint, his balls, and his erect shaft with good lighting. And I was like, look, no thank you, but how did you do that?
Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo. Are you not going to introduce yourself?
Hello there. I'm Steve Green, and you'll listen to...
Why is it always so awkward?
What are you talking about? I was trying to introduce myself to the cameras first, because if you're watching this on
with
YouTube...
With your eyes?
Then you got a very unique introduction that the people listening didn't get.
You know this is a podcast, right? It's your voice.
Well, okay, so hi, everybody. My name is Steve Green.
Okay, great. That was wonderful. Okay. I'm glad that you managed to do that. Today,
and that voice laughing right now is our good friend Chris Thompson. We have known Chris Thompson for a decade.
A long time. Yeah. I think maybe you probably even longer than that.
Yes. We met in like 2009. It was you and Mystery Guitar Man, Joe Penna, for those of you old school YouTube watchers. Oh. Yeah. And it was a Justin Bieber mockumentary.
Yeah.
And I played Snooki in that.
So much life. So many lifetimes have happened since then.
Yes.
But yeah.
It feels like forever ago.
I remember not knowing.
It was a decade ago.
Yeah. I remember only knowing him as Mr. Guitar Man. So when I saw him at VidCon, I was like, hey, Guitar Man.
The mystery was gone.
I mean, he goes by that. So
right.
So.
Yeah. But you know, and then I got to know Joe. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Chris has been doing YouTube a long ass time since 2006, right?
Yeah, 13 years. September was like, so I made my account in February, but like realized what YouTube was by like September. So September 18th, 2006, I started this journey, and
and it's still going.
And it's still kind of.
Yeah.
Some people are listening right now, and they were born in 2000.
I would love to have that conversation further, right. But I'm going to move on from it, frankly.
I think we should talk about it actually for a while.
Well, that's a game that I love to play. It happened a lot when we, I live stream on Twitch. And
Plug it.
Twitch.tv/supdaily if you want to tune in live.
We'll put a link in
there. And it's daily, right? You better, because with a name like that.
Well, no.
What the hell are you doing, Chris?
But I content create daily just on various platforms.
Oh my
so you can
God.
Find me on Snapchat, Instagram.
It's so complicated.
It's all Sup Daily. All
right.
But we were talking about where were you on September 11th.
Oh.
Yes. And people are like, I was two. And I'm like, I was in college and almost enlisted. So cool.
High school?
College.
College? He just said college.
No, I was in high school.
He's talking about him already.
Okay. Wow.
We can't talk about me for too long. I know I'm the guest, but we got to make sure Steve gets
something
enough.
Something was going on Thank with you. Your brain
well,
today.
Well, I thought you're all
going
to go around and talk about where we were on 9/11, because Jesus.
Yes, I was in high school for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like when it happened, I was in bed and my dad shouted from the living room. He's like, holy shit, holy shit, Darcy, get out here. And that's
He's
my mom's
really
name.
Cool under pressure.
Yeah. It's like, did he get hit by a plane?
Yeah.
And then I remember walking out to the living room because my dad is freaking out and he's watching the planes. He's going, you gotta watch this. Look at this, Darcy. Look at this. And the planes were, you know, crashing into the buildings. And I remember I didn't have a reaction because I think just being so desensitized by movies, I really didn't see it as something that was actually happening. I was
it didn't
like,
seem real.
No.
Yeah.
It was like, what's the big deal? There's a movie about a plane crashing, whatever. I'm going back to bed.
Right.
It didn't soak in for like, I'd say at least 6 months for me.
Whoa.
It took a while for me to like actually process. Like I had to watch a lot of news clips of like people jumping from the buildings where like it made it more like, oh, these are real people with families and lives and stuff. Like it just looked like a plane crashing into a building, and it was
the
really
fact that the buildings crashed was like,
yeah,
you know, I'm not getting conspiracy theory,
no,
but
this
like
this got fun. This got really fun.
How did those two enormous buildings that got crashed into in that fashion fall like a perfect demolition with secondary explosions.
Tune into our conspiracy episode for that.
It's like it's.
It doesn't matter because the Earth is flat. Okay.
Okay. True. Okay. We're on the turtle's back or something like that.
We're on a big turtle.
Speaking of big cities,
I hope you're not making fun because we'll get into it later.
The topic that we wanted to talk to Chris about, and we ask all our guests, like, what is something that you wish that you would have known a while back? That's someone, you know, some shit that they would have told you.
Yeah.
And Chris, you said you used to think that Los Angeles was the place that everyone wanted to be.
Center of the universe. Like, if you were going to be anybody, you had to be here.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up, I moved a lot. I was born in Indiana.
Oh, okay.
Should have been a Colts fan, but he's not.
I'm not. Okay. No.
Because he's a coward.
that's true. You have to be real committed. But I'm also a Bears fan, so you have to be committed there.
Relax.
So,
yeah.
So I was there till I was two, and then we moved to Illinois, and then we moved to New Jersey, and then back to Illinois, and then I moved to California. So I bounced around, but I mostly claim Illinois.
Yeah. So what was the like initial inception of this idea that like LA was the place to be?
Because I came from a town of 20,000 people, and you're like, ooh, Los Angeles. And the way I ended up in LA, I was in college. I was studying to be a high school choir teacher.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I was going that traditional, like, go to school, get your degree, because that's the mentality you have when you live in a small town.
And were you like, I really want to be a high school choir teacher?
No.
Oh, I see.
I loved singing and I loved music.
And that's how you started your YouTube channel.
And yeah, my idea was all music. And
you're quite a good singer.
Sometimes.
Stop
you are. No, I'm just complimenting you.
No, no, okay. He's allowed to compliment me if that's the only way you're allowed to interrupt.
Oh, okay. You have nice hair.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, we're never going to get
anywhere. And he has a great shirt on, I will say.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't he have nice hair, honey?
Yeah, I do think so. Yeah. I have terrible hair, so I'm happy to compliment his hair.
Yeah, but you're really handsome.
Well, thank you.
That's
true. I know that.
Hey, enough.
Why are you here? Nikki, you can leave
enough.
Now.
Yeah.
Bye.
So when I was a sophomore, I had just discovered social media. So this is like 2001 when I was a sophomore in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on this website called Face the Jury. It was pre-MySpace. And you put like photos up and people could rate you.
Is it like Hot or Not?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was like forums and like it was much more involved than Hot or Not.
You could go intensive.
Wait, can I just explain to those of you that are listening that may not have been around in 2001. We didn't have like cameras everywhere. Like no cell phones had cameras.
Location, and if you did pic,
was crazy, and it was 3 megapixels. Like I remember getting my first 5 megapixel camera, and that was top of the line. I spent $800 on it.
Whoa,
that was like insane.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to have pictures.
Yes.
And be on a forum. That was advanced
stuff. I made that happen because I needed validation.
Yeah, for sure.
And so when I was a sophomore, someone discovered me on that website, and they were forming a boy band.
Uh-huh. Okay, nice. Let's go there.
Because I know when I say that, everyone's going to go, uh-huh, yep, that makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Yeah.
So I signed with that boy band and moved to the East Coast, started recording the album. We were setting up the tour in Germany, like getting everything together, go home for Christmas. And that was like my first big Hollywood lesson where it was like, all of a sudden it wasn't a deal anymore.
Yeah.
Investors pulled out. It was a brand new record label. So then I was home.
What was your boy band called?
Forsaken.
Oh shit, that's
tight.
Was it
the number 4?
No, but everyone asked that. No, there was 5 of us. So
that's just tight though, I will say it.
We were forsaking the industry.
Ooh. 5 Saken.
Then the industry forsook you back.
Yeah.
Like real hard.
You were forsooken.
Yeah, we literally just tapped on the industry and they're like, nah, we're good. But yeah, so I went home. They're like, it's not a deal anymore. Have you ever seen the movie Waiting? With Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That was my life. It's actually based on Bennigan's, where I was working when I moved home.
See, I worked at Chili's for 5 years and I felt like it was my life too.
It's the Chili's, Applebee's, Bennigan's.
Yeah.
Like, it's all like the same thing. Yeah.
They really did.
So I was waking up every day drunk from the night before, doubling with everybody, partying with them. It was like, that was my life. And I woke up one day, I was like, I used to have ambition. What am I doing?
Mm.
And one of the guys that was in the boy band is like, hey, do you want to move to LA? And I said, sure. I worked as much as I could for a month. I saved up $5,000.
Wow.
And knew that I thought that was going to last me a while, which goes to show my perspective on things.
Oh, by the way, for those of you listening who don't live in California, there are so many taxes.
There's a lot.
And just property value and all this shit.
In addition
rent.
To the rent being super high, the taxes are like, you got sales tax, you got capital gains tax, you got property tax, you got
gasoline tax,
income
compared
tax,
to
you got state
gas.
Tax. Everything is very, very taxed.
A tank of gas when I fueled up in Denver was like I have a 10-gallon tank and it was like $28, and I filled up here and it was like $42. Like, yeah. Imagine that every single tank. Like, that, even that is like a massive difference.
And I have to get Plus because I have a Mini Cooper.
Oh my God.
So it
we
sucks.
Get it. You're rich.
No. The Mini Cooper's not rich. No. It was $23,000.
Also, I have a hybrid and it only takes regular.
Oh.
Because
I didn't even get the John Cooper's Works version or none of that shit. I got the base model Mini Cooper S hardtop, bitch.
Yeah, and it's like really bad. Like, he can't even play MP3s in his car.
I got a little dongle that I can connect my iPhone to, but it doesn't reach the cup holder, so my phone kind of hangs in the air before it falls on the ground and it takes the connector.
And you know
out.
What's dumb? It has Bluetooth capabilities, but won't play music from the phone. It's so stupid.
It
your car
sucks.
Is so stupid. It makes me angry driving.
I can't wait for OMG to like really take off finally it's this gonna. Quarter, and then I can buy that same car.
It won't be this quarter, but it will be. It will happen.
I've been hearing this from you for over a year.
We're gonna be fine, Chris.
It's fine. I only like invested like $16,000.
We're gonna be fine, brother.
So I always think bringing it back to LA.
Hey, I will say, taking financial advice from an internet troll is
that's
a pretty
true,
legendary
but you
move.
Had success with it.
That's true.
And you just did a whole cryptocurrency episode.
That's true.
We'll second one.
Yeah.
Right. So back to Los Angeles. I always think this is so fascinating because I have a completely different perspective having grown up right next to Los Angeles. Mm. It never was a big deal
where were
to
you?
Me. I was in Santa Barbara.
Oh, okay.
And then my whole extended family lived in Los Angeles. Both my mom's side and my dad's side, we were the only people that lived in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
So we'd go to LA all the time on like the weekends and stuff. And it was just not like this big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big deal for me to move out of my parents' house because that's just like a life deal.
Right.
But like to move to LA, it was just like, oh, it's like, I was very familiar already.
Mm-hmm. But when you're from like these small towns, it's this like massive thing. And it is. It is a powerhouse industry place. But like,
I think that's how I would feel if I went to New York. Like to me, like New York seems like whenever I go there, I'm like, oh my God, this is overwhelming.
It just depends though. Because if you wanted to do TV, LA was the place. If you wanted to do movies and shit.
Broadway,
it was New York.
Yeah, theaters in New York.
Yeah.
I just like the people in New York, like they excuse a lot of the things that are like absolutely not okay. just saying that's just like New York. And I was like, yeah, that's not okay though. Like what just happened? Like it just, I could never live in New York unless I had fuck you money.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I didn't
yeah.
actually have to like associate with people.
Well, most people who work in New York live in New Jersey because they can't afford
New
to live
Jersey,
in New York.
Because I lived Brooklyn. There. It was like a suburb of New Jersey's a suburb of New York City.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I was so confused about that because the first time I went to New Jersey was when we had that Tri-State Playlist Live.
Oh, what a disaster that was.
Yeah, that was crazy.
All the meet and greets were in the subarctic cold outside.
And we were cold, freezing. Oh. I had the heater pointed to anyone that came to meet me because I'm like, I'm so sorry.
It was in like a garage.
Yeah.
Well, you know what happened, right? The fire marshal shut down the heating.
Oh.
Because it wasn't up to code, so they didn't have time to figure
it
out.
Oh, my God.
So, like, I walk out and I'm not warm, but everyone else had been in line for at least an hour in this parking garage, freezing their butts
off. That
was
insane.
Can I just say, it's not up to code. The worst thing that could have happened was it would have started a fire, which would have heated the place.
You know what? You're a solution guy.
Thank you.
That's what you are.
But point being,
we needed it.
I didn't know that New York was right there, that we just crossed a bridge we were like in New York. I had no idea.
And the New York Giants played in Jersey.
Yeah.
Right.
MetLife.
I could see the stadium from my hotel window.
Yeah, I was so confused. I just have such a warped.
Did you guys know that the Statue of Liberty is actually in New Jersey?
Is that right?
Oh.
I did not know that.
New Jersey people claim that?
Well, there was a big debate about taking the Statue of Liberty off the license plate in New York.
Oh,
because
wow,
it's actually
petty.
It's in the New Jersey Harbor.
Mm. Oh, what a nitpicky fucking shithead thing.
You know what? Whatever.
New York is synonymous with the statue, man.
I think New York has a few other
things.
She's
a New Yorker. Let her go, man.
Isn't she French?
No.
She was like a gift from
the
French.
She's a gift. She's ours.
Yeah, Lady Justice. Yeah.
God, she's not a possession. Okay.
I think she is.
Okay, fine.
I think she literally is, actually.
I mean, it's just rude. This is how we treat women nowadays, patriarchy and some other buzzwords.
We treat them way better than the 1800s.
That's why she grabbed the torch to torch people like you.
it's like the 1800s version of like a taser or mace.
Yeah.
I see. It was just a defense weapon.
Exactly.
It's just like, if you come near me, you will be on fire.
I will have liberty.
I might actually bring that back. I think that's a better move.
Not bad.
Yeah. Would be. And it fights against like vampires and stuff or whatever.
Well, we're not there yet.
Listen.
I go to bed early.
Join our conspiracy.
Look, I'm down.
I go to bed early, so the vampires are not really much of an issue for me.
When you go to bed when the sun's still up?
Sometimes. I remember there was one time where I laid down in bed and I was like, I remember when I was a kid and I had early bedtime at that part of the summer where the sun's still out.
Yeah.
And I was like really sad about it. And now I'm like, I'm not waking up for 12 hours. It's fine. That's how I feel.
I can't imagine all the people who live up in Alaska and shit.
Or how do they do that?
I don't know. Where it's like sunlight for 20 hours or something.
Yeah, I could never do that.
It's like
give
a few
me
days
so
they have like
anxiety.
Nonstop sun.
Crazy.
And then the winter's got to be the worst, where it's just like dark for several.
Yeah,
days.
We're just gonna judge. We've never been there, but we're gonna judge it.
True.
So coming to LA, it was like this big thing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just put as much as I could in my car. I knew one person. I hadn't even seen the apartment I moved into. I'd never lived on my own. Never lived in a big city. I had no freaking idea what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was coming.
Right.
And I shared a room with a guy I didn't even know in a Sherman Oaks apartment. And I just like...
But I think that's kind of the magic of LA mm-hmm. is that everyone's a transplant. They come here with their hopes and dreams. And it's got like this vibe of like, oh, like that's so precious. And then there's all these like depressed people that are leaving Los Angeles and they're...
Yeah, it's
like,
the midnight train in Georgia, bro.
Yeah, it is. There's just like this like vibe, this hustle of people that like really want to make it, you know? And I kind of like it. Yeah.
I like that. But what I've never vibed with is like, I understand that trying to make it in this city is a very self-centered endeavor. Like in a way you have to be really focused on yourself and developing yourself to be that person that will get hired for that job and develop those connections. And sometimes you're connecting with people that aren't necessarily your people, but are going to get you further in the business. Like I respect that hustle, but there's too many people here thinking they have to be shitty and step on people in order to get there. And after like,
but it does work.
It does work, but I just don't identify with
that's
it.
That's the conclusion we came to. I'm like, okay, well, we'll never be on top because we can't ass kiss or backstab.
Right.
Like, we're just really bad at those two
but
things.
I will say that's like you're playing a Pokemon's game and you have
game.
An ice thing and they have a fire thing and they use it on you and it's super effective.
Yeah.
Like if it works, why are we over here with rock Pokemons? That's all I'm saying.
That's the great analogy.
Philosophical as fuck. Indeed.
He's the tangent guy.
Hey, if you're listening in the car, pull over and just think about that for a second. Thank
you. I understand. I didn't play Pokemon before Pokemon Go, and then I got real, real into it, and then I quit. But now my whole family is still real, real into
really?
It. They go to Pokemon Go Fest every year. My parents play together. It's like
holy
their bonding
shit.
Thing.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Look at my metaphor. It turned into a beautiful, beautiful
right?
story.
Yeah, it bonded my parents. They lost a bunch of weight together doing Pokemon
That's
Go.
That's cute because they're all outside
they
and walking around.
They played more than 4 days then. I got bored after that four fucking days.
Yeah.
They're rank 40 and they play the game that Pokemon is based on, Ingress. It was their map and their game, and that's how they made all the Master Pokemon.
Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Can you kick your parents' asses for me for being fucking nerds like that?
No, that's how it works. It starts young. Everything starts young, and then the old people take over, and then it's like their thing now.
And then they ruin it.
But no, they don't ruin it.
They just keep it going in their own way.
Oh, I see.
They're on like Pokemon Go groups in our area, and like they play with people of all ages.
Oh, no.
It's bonding.
They ruined it.
No.
All
no,
the kids
but then,
are like, I'm not playing this shit.
But then there's like
hipsters,
young hipsters that'll go play old people games like chess and like bocce
That's
ball
true.
And like whatever they, whatever
love
it is.
Bocce ball.
Right?
Fuck, I'm old shit.
Damn, bro.
I've always loved bocce ball. Okay?
We're not going to bocce ball.
Since
you
I was 3 years old, I've loved bocce ball.
No, we're changing the subject. We're not talking about fucking bocce ball on my show.
Oh, man.
So when you got here, were your expectations held up? Like, were you like, wow, this is
I got slapped hard when I moved here. So my first job, I got because the manager at Bennigan's was friends with a guy who was the manager of the valet guys at the Beverly Hills Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, ooh, I'm going to be like brushing arms with all these celebrities. that's
and they're literally throwing keys at your head.
They literally don't even know you exist. but I only lasted in that job for like 6 hours. So I was 22 when I moved here. I was a college athlete. I was a runner. So like I was in really good shape. And I figure, hey, I hustle more, I make more money. That's how it works. So I'm like running to get cars and running back. And all the guys I worked with were career valets.
Ooh,
so
they hated you already.
They hated me to the point where they actually cornered me, four of them. And these guys are in their like probably 40s, 50s. And they're like, if you don't slow down, we're going to kick your ass.
Ooh.
And I like took my uniform off and threw it in all their faces and walked off. I was like, I'm not getting beat up over this bullshit.
And they're like, that went really well. Yeah. That was fucking awesome.
All right,
that
perfect.
Perfect. Wow, shit. We don't have to compete with this guy. Hey, how about that? gave it to them.
I was like, fuck you guys. I'm not, this is a valet job.
Mm-hmm.
And I also realized this is awful. I respect the valets. I don't know how y'all do it, but it was a journey.
Well, they have a valet mob.
Yeah, they do.
And like, hey, slow it down. You're going to hear from us again, friend.
Yeah, it was more of a Mexican accent. But
I understand.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound as mob.
Yeah, that's true.
It never is.
That's true.
Yeah.
So then I went from there to, do you know the DSW at the Sherman Oaks Galleria?
Yes.
I opened that store.
What?
Like, I can't believe it's still open.
Single-handedly?
Yes. That's what I got paid very well. No, they hired a bunch of people on and like I helped set it up.
Yeah.
Like, built out the store. And then when the store launched, my hours got cut to like 5 hours a week.
Oh, that's what always happens.
So they were using me to like set things up.
Yeah.
And so then I quit there and I worked.
Did you throw your uniform and
no,
on the ground?
No. I just quit on that situation.
I wish that's how you
left
every job.
I wanted to see if you're dramatic about it every time.
No.
Okay.
No, not always. Yeah. And then I went downstairs and it used to be El Torito and I think it's something else.
Yeah.
What's right across from the Cheesecake
Factory. Something called, Frida's.
It was called Bobby Loco's. And it was a brand new restaurant and I had a blast there. Like I made friends with everyone. They had like a margarita. A gun, and I would like lean over the bar, make myself a margarita, and put grenadine in it. It looked like pink lemonade. I'd have like four pink lemonades throughout my shift. And like everybody hung out. It was so much fun. And I show up for work one day, and the door's locked, and it was out of business, and they didn't tell anybody.
Probably because you're scamming them pink margarita machines.
No, it turned out the owner was scamming
the pink margarita
machine. The Galleria in some way. I don't know. So then I went from there to
Saddle Ranch,
Mexicali.
Oh.
And I worked there for about 5 days because I got fired for not being excited enough to be there.
I got laid off for that too.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I interviewed with this very like prestigious this cocktail bar that they only served like A-list clientele and like producers and directors, and there was they called in 70 applicants and they only hired one person, and it was me. And I had told the guy, like, he was very like, and how will you be serving our company, right? And I was like, hey, listen, I've been a server for a really long time. I am an actress and I want to audition and all that stuff. And that's my primary goal in life. But I will never not take responsibility over having my shifts covered. They will always be covered. You know, like, I'll always be responsible while I'm here. I will be a waitress. But I want you to know that I will always like pick acting over waitressing. This is not my primary
job. You were honest.
It was, and he liked that.
And she's like, if I'm serving Dustin Hoffman, I'm dropping headshots all over the table.
Yeah. Well,
did you ever get to serve him?
No, I served everybody. Everybody you can think of, like all A-list celebrities.
Where were you?
It was at the L'Hermitage in Beverly Hills. But so let me tell you, it was Raffles L'Hermitage. It was one of the only five like Michelin star, like five diamond and five Michelin star or whatever it is. It was like the really top of the top. Yeah, they got
Even let Mini Coopers park there.
Right.
Say that.
If you valeted your car, they'd be like, ew, can you just park where the...
Maybe John Cooper's works version. I could dream,
yeah.
So they got bought by Viceroy.
Mm.
And when the Viceroy people came in, they laid off all like the upper management and all the stuff. And like they were a younger, we're going to do things right. We're career servers. And we had to come in all the time and like taste food on our days off. And like
to be passionate about the food.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they wanted us to be really passionate about it. And they ended up laying me off after 90 days being like, we just don't think you're passionate enough about the food. And I was like, I told them that. When I got hired.
But people who work at those types of places, like, that's a career for them.
Yeah.
Because you can make, I'm assuming you made good money while you were there.
Not really as a server, but I will say we had a couple recurring celebrities, like that regular celebrities.
Mm-hmm. Tobey Maguire?
No.
Scarlett Johansson's?
No. But
Sophie Turner?
You'll probably hit one if you keep going, but they were recurring and they would tip like hundreds of dollars. And so like if you get like one of those nights, then you make a decent.
Yeah.
But average night, no, that's not A-list anymore.
Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Let's go obscure on this.
Pretty much everyone else.
Jason Priestley.
No.
Okay.
Who's your favorite celebrity?
Did any celebrities go there?
Who's your favorite celebrity?
Ricky Martin, because I am him.
Okay, no.
There you go.
Not him.
I actually don't get... I never was obsessed with celebrity.
Me neither.
Ever.
And same. I think that's another reason that I was hired, because I really didn't care unless you're Eminem.
Yeah.
If Eminem came in, I would...
Very specific.
I would shit
pee your pants and shit your pants.
I would. I would hide, actually.
I want to try and make that happen for you. I'll figure it out.
Oh, my God.
Chris.
Yeah.
You want to see me shit my pants?
Why didn't you take the energy that you had as a valet and just apply it to your fucking waiter job at Mexicali?
So the real story about why I got fired was the manager tried to fuck me and I said no.
Whoa. That's
happens. Why I wasn't excited
the
enough.
The hot female manager?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's always a guy.
I understand.
It's literally, like,
you never know.
If I get hit on by 10 people, 8.5 of them are guys. And that's just like I'm moth to the flame when
fucking
it comes
patriarchy.
To.
Fucking patriarchy.
I guess, yeah. So I feel that. I actually posted about it this morning because I built like a really large LGBT audience, like, I guarantee you I've received more dick pics than you.
Probably.
It's
really
obscene how many dick pics. There was actually one that was really impressive.
Don't tell them that.
No, no. He got his butthole, his taint, his balls, and his erect shaft with good lighting. And I was like, look, no thank you. But how did you do that?
Yeah, what did you use? Softbox?
It was amazing. Wow. I was
Chris,
like,
how do you still get them when Instagram makes the image blurry and you could know whether or not you want to see the image anymore?
Well, I have Snapchat. And I'm also just a curious human.
No, I'm
like, this might not be a dick. It's a dick. Yep.
Listen, I want to see your dick. I want to judge your dick, but I don't want your dick.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna start like a Finsta. I can't do it on Instagram. Twitter, a fake like Twitter account. That's just a. I'll start collecting all of them.
Oh my God, Chris.
That might do well. Be careful. That
I'm
might
gonna
do
go
well.
To jail.
They hear this podcast and they're like, "See, he likes our dick."
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't.
He's
please
trying to
stop.
Collect more dick pics.
Please
send
him your
please
dick.
Send
I don't
them
want it.
To Chris@ChrisThompson.com.
Yeah.
That's Chris at
Look,
ChrisThompson.com.
I want to suck a dick. I just don't. Okay, so let it go.
He
Did you say you don't want to?
No, he no, says I, he wants to
I,
want,
want
to.
To. Want to.
I want to want to.
Why do you want to want to?
Because I think it would open up, like, I think, how do I know that sucking dick wouldn't be fun or playing around with the dude wouldn't be
fun? It's pretty fun.
I'm sure it is. I just have literally.
Sometimes you get in a competition like, can I make it go deeper this time?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've had girls
cool.
do that. And
Nick
when I
cool
can
checker.
See that they're doing it, you got to hide that that's what you're doing, though. When I see a girl who's like, I'm going to do, she gets like positioned. I was like, oh, this is like a ego thing for your throat.
What? Oh,
okay.
Speak for yourself.
What's wrong with that? What are you a fucking jaded blowjob guy?
Yeah.
You're jaded blowjob guy?
Oh, you're trying
guy?
To show off about
oh, here
how
we go.
Another chick suck my
trying
dick.
To show off. She's sucking my dick good.
You know, well, because the thing is if that doesn't feel good, you are crushing the head of my penis with your trachea, and I don't enjoy that.
I enjoy that.
A lot
that.
Of people enjoy that.
It hurts me.
Wow.
Speak for yourself. Don't yuck my
you
fucking yum,
dude. Dick. Okay.
Yuck my yum is this new thing that's come out. You're the second person this week.
I think that my friend Gina started
Gina, I think, started it.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Because yeah. we've been
viral.
Saying that on our Hey Bitch podcast, too, and then like a bunch of people are saying it now.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I think.
Please don't mention our chief competitor here.
Oh, excuse us. Excuse me.
Thank you.
Those girls are lame on that podcast.
Yes, no, it's a cheap competitor. We can't talk about this
yeah,
shit.
Yeah,
yeah. We're going to cut that. Don't worry about it, guys. We're going to cut it.
Leave it in.
So you got here. You got sexually harassed.
Yeah, all
and
that stuff
fired.
Happened in the first 2 months I lived here.
Wow.
And then I was on, like three reality dating shows in like the same week, because you go to a club and someone's like, hey, do you want to be on TV?
Yeah.
And you don't know that like, that's not special.
Chris, why don't you go on The Bachelor? You would be great on The Bachelor.
They've asked me.
Why wouldn't
really?
You do that?
Why didn't you do it?
Change your life, Chris.
The idea of, one, either I'd be the worst competitor. I was like, I don't even think she's that cute, and I would
leave.
Well,
yeah, if you're judging the way girls are sucking your dicks, we're sucking your dicks.
Yeah,
good,
exactly.
Like,
nitpicky ass Chris.
I'm sorry I don't want my genitalia crushed. That's just like a goal of mine is to keep it uncrushed.
He's like, hey, when you're sucking my dick, there's a little hair on it. Yeah, disrespect, you know,
how
that's not
tight
cool.
are these girls' throats? Shimony.
I mean, I'm not trying to say I'm packing, but.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
Right.
I see how
right.
it is now.
Yeah, Steve's got a tiny one, so it's easy.
Yeah. I could dream.
I could see you having a really big dick, though.
Nah, man.
Really?
It's just a meme. It's all big meme.
Oh.
Yep.
Huge meme.
Fuck you.
Hey, you still managed to nab Nikki,
stupid,
so.
Right?
That worked out.
That's because I'm good with my fingers, my friend.
Yeah.
No, ew.
Now I'm good
what
with
about,
one finger in
no,
particular.
No. Ew.
Probably better if you like went with the mouth stuff angle.
If you're watching on video, you get my drift.
I really hate fingers.
Yeah, just like come here. Yeah, a lot of girls
I really
do.
Hate it.
Because guys don't take care of their nails, and they also like
exactly.
They like finger punch
yeah,
your vagina, and
it's
a sensitive
always,
area.
It's also a weird thing when
like
you think
it.
About it.
I'm yucking that yum.
Like shoving your fingers up inside of a chick is I don't know, it's a strange thing.
I think they think of it as the same as like a hand job, but it's very not.
It's very not. And guys don't understand like what a G-spot is.
Yeah.
Or like how to actually, hey, there's someone else there that you maybe maybe consider the person.
Guys also get into this thing where like, okay, let's say you go a little slow and like the girl's like, ooh, I like that. They're like, well, if she likes it like
gotta
that, then I gotta go faster.
Faster, harder.
Like,
might as well
start
harder. Might as well fist her.
Yeah,
faster and furiouser.
It's not equal that.
No. I used to make a bunch of like sex plus type content on my YouTube channel. I was trying.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing the Lord's work, trying to explain to men like, hey,
yeah,
you know, maybe don't do that. Or foreplay is a thing. And if it hurts, it's not because your dick is too big. It's because you didn't preheat the oven enough.
Yeah.
And that's on you.
Oh, see, I don't want them to learn.
Oh,
I want to be the only one who knows.
Yeah, but you're married. It doesn't matter.
No,
you're
I know.
Off the table.
But I'm very possessive.
Let other people get married.
No.
They have no fighting chance without
it's secret
this knowledge.
Knowledge.
Yeah.
I hope that it all dies with me.
Secret knowledge.
Anyway, so I got asked to be on all these reality dating shows, and one of them was the first season of a show called Date My Mom.
Mm.
Do you remember that show?
I do.
So I went on three dates with three moms, and I had to pick their daughters without seeing what their daughters look like.
Wow.
And one of the moms I actually like really connected with, she was like,
oh, you wanted to actually date
no,
the
no,
mom?
No.
That would have been great, though.
No. Yeah, it would have been. I don't think... looking back, I don't think she was heterosexual, so it probably wouldn't have worked out.
Got it.
But so I really connected with her, and I stayed in touch with her and her daughter, even though I eliminated her daughter. And they went out to lunch one time, and the mom was like, why don't you invite Chris out to lunch? I was like, okay. And she, well, not me, because she was talking to her daughter.
Yeah, I hope so.
She was like, okay. So I went out to lunch with them, and I was talking to them. I'd been here for about 4 months, and I was like, I don't know. I think I got to get out of here. Like, this is, like, there's too much going on. There was, like, earthquakes and mudslides and fires, too, and, like, just, like, so much craziness. And she's like, how long have you been here? The mom was like that. I was like, I don't know, like, 4 months? She said, pussy.
Nice.
And it flipped a switch. You know, like, you're right.
Yeah.
I have to suck it up. This is a tough city.
Yep.
Figure it out. And then I was in LA for 15 years because a random mom called me pussy.
Yep, that's tough.
She bullied you into staying.
She bullied me. I'm still friends with her too.
That's
what about
awesome.
The girl? What about the daughter? Was she cool?
She was cool.
I bet you learned way more lessons by
staying here.
I just
wasn't attracted
here.
To her.
You threw it away.
I wasn't attracted to her.
I see.
So
I bet you learned way more lessons by staying here and like working through it.
Oh
and
my
like
goodness.
Everything you've built has come from that.
Yes.
So it's all.
So like I thank her all the time. I was like, thanks for calling me a pussy. You know, like just challenge my manhood. And
here you
go. She couldn't call me a pussy now because that's offensive. But back then it was cool.
Sure. Well, I still enjoy it.
Those are the rules.
Yep. And that being said, we're going to go on our first break. We'll be right back and talk more about pussies.
No, we're going to talk about.
Don't spoil it.
Chris's deepest, darkest secret when we return.
We're taking a break from ourselves to have ourselves talk about ourselves. So thanks for listening to our podcast.
We really hope that you like, favorite, and subscribe. But most importantly, you give us 5 stars on the podcast app that you are on.
And give us a cool review if you like it, because we like you and
we hope you like it. But even if you don't, just give us 5 stars anyway because we need
you
it.
You sound so desperate.
No, listen, we really need
you
it.
You sound so
no, look, maybe
desperate.
Look, it's a tough time out
Please
there for podcasters.
Please help my husband. He's very sad.
If we don't get 5 stars, dude, you don't even know what's going to come down on me, man.
I
owe money. Listen, okay. I'm in deep, dude. I gamble.
Okay, no. We're
Look,
done.
I need to win.
Thank you for listening. We hope you like this. We really appreciate your ears listening
I'm going
to
back
this.
To the table tonight. I'm going to get it.
Yeah,
back.
No, you're
no,
not.
No, I'm going to get
you're
it back.
Not. Okay.
I swear.
That's enough. Enough out of you. And we're back.
Oh.
Chris, what is your deepest, darkest secret?
He just told us all of his deep, dark secrets.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Oh, shit.
Sorry to yuck your yum, but
yeah.
I already told you and you weren't listening.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So what then, because you then like created a whole life here. So what became the turning point for you where you were like, I should get out of here still?
Well, I mean, from that moment, like I never really like sought the industry here. I think I tried to do the modeling thing for a little bit, hated that. And then I tried to do the acting thing. It wasn't really my thing.
What's the modeling thing like?
You can't eat as much, and I love eating.
Yeah,
so
it's a different type of modeling. If you eat, like, you can do like print ads and stuff.
Yeah.
So like the only modeling I did was print ads, and it was for like ADD medication, for reals.
But
and
you booked.
I did, but for like the like, oh, I relate to her because I'm like
she's
a
on
normal
a cat food
girl.
Bag.
I was on all the Purina cat food bags in the Latina and the Latin market.
That makes a lot of sense,
right?
Yeah.
Knowing you.
And I've seen it. She's like holding a cat, like smiling at the cat.
Like I am that girl on the on
you
like
still
just
are.
Having a moment with
cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
bet you didn't book no cat commercial. Huh?
I didn't. Yeah, no, I just thought auditioning was real awkward.
It is.
Like I remember one time I had to do this audition and they were like all these like judgy people with clipboards in a dark room and they had me sit in a computer chair and pretend I was fighting gargoyles. I'm like, is this? Like,
I think that's what I like about commercial auditions is that you like don't know what they're gonna ask you
it
to
was
do,
a lot.
And then you just like you're doing a different thing each time. Like,
yeah, I didn't like that at all. Or like the modeling stuff. I remember one time on Memorial Day, I had to drive 45 minutes to have them take a Polaroid of me, so that they knew what I actually look like. Because I've done hiring of like hosts and stuff like that for companies, and I was like. So when the person in this headshot wants to hang out, we'll totally audition you because it's so drastically different. Whatever magician made you look like this, I want this person. I don't understand how people can have that much false advertisement.
I like to eat food, you asshole.
Yeah, well, that's not.
Yeah, people think that it's doing them like they're a favor because it gets them in the room, but then you'll never get called in the room again.
It's a deception.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Gotta look like your picture.
Yeah. So
why can't you doctor the end result footage to make them look like that?
Deep fakes weren't a thing yet, you know? But the technology is getting crazy.
Yeah. It's getting good.
Yeah. So yeah, I was just kind of like partying and working at bars and like kind of just enjoying living in a big city. And then I started making YouTube content, and it really took off for me. I think for the first like 2 years I did YouTube, I was in the top 100.
Yeah.
I think I peaked at like 20. I was like top 20 on the website. And I mean, back then that was like 10,000 subscribers,
right.
But there wasn't really a lot of people doing it. And like, I really started to get notoriety, and then the partner program happened. And I was like, oh, I can make money. And then eventually, like, I got to the point where I was like, this is what I want to do full time. And I've been full time doing YouTube for almost 10 years now.
Yeah.
And so that worked for a while, but you guys understand the YouTube business is so mercurial. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, your income's not
consistent.
You never
know what they're going to change. They'll flip a switch and
you're broke.
It's completely gone.
Yeah. So I was like, I went through, because I talk about controversial subjects and YouTube does not like that.
They demonetize that now immediately.
All the time.
Just for subject headers.
I get demonetized before I'm finished uploaded.
I am demonetized.
Do you remember
when demonetization itself?
So Steve's completely demonetized. Do you remember when we first started dating 6 years ago and you told me to make all my thumbnails of my cleavage?
Yeah.
You said, play the game, make them all sexual thumbnails and titles.
Yes, I did.
And you'll blow up.
Hope you're watching this on YouTube right now.
And I could not do it.
You can see the
And then all of his are sexual, and his entire channel got demonetized and pulled from the partner program.
Oh,
so I'm
no.
like, thank God I never did that.
But I did very well.
But you did very well for that time. But a lot of people were doing that. A lot of people were blowing up, and
that's how Phil got popular.
Right. It was.
Do you have a video that has 90 million views? I do.
No.
I do have one that's 12 million, and it is because of that.
Nothing. Dad, wait, you had a video with 90 million views?
Yeah.
Which one was it?
It's called Sex in Public Prank Gone Sexual. It went very sexual. We didn't expect
it. You were ahead of the curve on that one. It's not a prank, though. It's a social experiment.
It was a social experiment.
That's why he did it. It was right after all those social experiments.
Oh, it was during.
It was like a heightening of that.
I was satirizing that shit, yeah.
But it worked out. I mean,
you never know when those things are going to go.
Yeah.
You got a lot of new audience from it, but yeah.
Not money.
A lot of shitheads, though.
Yeah.
Like, hey, why aren't you really fucking him? Or were you really fucking him? Or like, what's up? I had a kid come up to me one time. I was at Disney. And they're like, hey, did you really fuck those girls outside? And I was like, no. The fuck is your problem? No.
But I mean, they want to live vicariously through your dick.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly.
Who doesn't, you know?
Mm-hmm. That'd be a really weird thing to say right now, considering.
You can say I know.
You know, so then you built YouTube and
And then it failed a lot.
It just went a different direction than the direction you had.
Okay, I was broke.
Yeah.
And then, so the apocalypse happened.
Yeah,
and it cut,
apocalypse
like,
really.
90% of my income disappeared.
Yeah, that's when it fucked everyone over.
Twins.
Yeah, so that screwed me over. And in that same week, my dog got hit by a car and died.
I remember that.
So it was just a really bad week.
Yeah.
And I hopped in the car and I drove for 3 months.
Oh my gosh.
And I did meetups around the U.S. And I think I collected something like $25,000 worth of items for different shelters across the U.S.
Wow.
and Canada. But by the end of that, like, I get back. I'm not making money. I just blew through a bunch of money doing this. I had about $20.
Mm-hmm.
My rent was like $2,200 at that point.
Ooh. Oh gosh.
So
L.A. California,
yeah, not good
baby.
Math on that one. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this Twitch thing a try and see if it could be like a better platform for me. And I immediately started making money on Twitch.
That's great.
And with the stuff that I do, like, it's me having more conversational
content.
Yeah,
more connected.
You're not even playing games, right?
Sometimes, but not really. Like,
yeah.
I do my podcast on there live, and then—
See, I really like that, man. Because basically, it's like, one way to grow on Twitch is, from what I've heard, be good at games or be a girl. Right, but you're just doing a show on there,
yeah,
which is super cool.
It's a tough spot, but— For now, it's a tough spot. I think I'm an early investor.
Yeah.
And I think
like you were on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think people are going to start coming over. It's supported by Amazon, so it's got deep pockets, just like YouTube did.
But you guys lost Ninja.
I did lose Ninja.
What's going to happen? You're in a tailspin.
Yeah, I'm crying over it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If I had emotions, but I don't.
Where did Ninja go?
It's called Mixer.
Are you going to think about going to Mixer, maybe?
No.
Okay.
No.
I wanted to make news, but I guess
I'm good. I'm good. I'm announcing today my retirement from Twitch.
Yeah.
All 12 people care.
We made news.
But no, like, Twitch really took off for me, and then I started to get like financial stability. And in all those hours while I was on the road, and I was just thinking about like, everything that has been going on, all the stress surrounding trying to like stay relevant enough to make money on YouTube and maintain your integrity as well.
Right.
I don't want to be here anymore. And then I started to like, I made more money immediately on Twitch than I ever did on, because I never made much on YouTube because of the stuff I talked about.
And because you were such an early adopter that in the beginning, even when you were one of the top 100 channels, that wasn't when people were making any money.
No. That was the worst time for money. Yeah.
So yeah, I was just like, okay, if I don't need to be here, because I thought I had to be here for YouTube. Mm-hmm. But YouTube stopped being the center of my universe like it was for so many years. Okay, if you don't want to be here, where do you want to be? And I literally just made a checklist of like places, like what I'd like in a city. Mm-hmm. Like I still wanted it to be a bigger city, but not massive. You know, I still wanted seasons, but not like Midwest seasons where you want to die.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted like, I wanted clean air.
Yeah.
And I've never been a beach person. I love the mountains. So I was looking at like the Pacific Northwest for a little bit, but it was too cloudy. Like I need some sun. So then it was between Denver and Austin, and Austin in the summertime is like hotter than Satan's grundle. So I'm like, no, thank you. So I looked at Denver and I was like, look, I work for myself. I know one person who lives there. So I have someone there. And if I hate it, I'll leave. And this month will be a year and I'm so much happier.
You seem happier.
Every Instagram picture you take from Denver, I'm like, damn, it's fucking like
it's incredible.
Portrait mode beauty.
Yeah. It's like nature playground.
Yeah.
I love nature. So, and there's it's growing so rapidly that there's so many cool things happening all the time, but it's not LA.
Yeah.
Right.
But like I'm getting more opportunities being in a less saturated market where it's really growing and in a good way.
Bigger fish, smaller pond.
Yeah. It's been awesome.
What industries out there?
Like creative industries in general, like you're not gonna, there's not a lot of people shooting like motion pictures there or whatever, but like I'm meeting like photographers and other influencers like me and like artists, and like it's just like all those, it's just not industry, and that's what I was looking for. I was looking to stay around creative people, which Denver has a ton of creative people, but away from the industry and ego.
Yeah.
I actually had to relearn how to talk to people. Because people are like, you're really good at reading people. I was like, well, here you have to.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
People are talking to you and you're listening to them.
Yeah.
But you're like, what do they want?
Were they really thinking?
Well, then you're trying to brag about all your shit real quick.
Right.
As quickly as you can so
it's
that you
gross.
Have value. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
or
I was
if
like,
you don't want to, then they don't see any purpose in talking to you.
So I'm like, I talked to them. I was like, what do they want? I was like, oh, I think they're just being nice people and they want to be my friend.
Yeah.
And I was seeking that. And even if it's just temporary, like I needed to get out. Because I didn't realize how much traumatic shit I went through here that I normalized because I was always drowning.
Mm. Yeah, man.
I don't have a time to think about the outfit I'm wearing when I'm drowning. I'm just trying to keep my head above water.
Right.
You know? And so now I'm getting into therapy and like dealing with a lot of that stuff because like, man, like it happened to me while I was here.
Wow.
Like especially working in the nightclub industry in Hollywood for so long, like I had guns pulled on me, I got stabbed, I got in fights all the time.
Stabbed?
I have scars all over my knuckles from fighting.
Wow.
Constantly.
Wow.
Because I worked at Playhouse.
Oh yeah.
Which is still
open. I lived down the street from that.
Yeah.
You are so much cooler than I thought you were.
Thank you.
That's really
thank
cool.
You. Yeah.
That's
no,
cool
getting
shit.
Stabbed's not cool.
Well, tell that story. I want to, what happened?
Tell that cool story.
So it was, so the Playhouse has a big stage, so they would get a lot of big performers. And Lil Jon was performing that night. Lil Jon himself doesn't drink, keeps quietly to himself, really, really nice dude.
That's off brand.
It's not, though.
What? Like,
it's not.
For Lil Jon?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, if you listen to the Chappelle skits about him where he like becomes that eloquent person, that person's real. That's really who he is.
That's funny.
But usually when you have like a famous person, you have the entourage surrounding them. And I don't know if he was part of his entourage or just trying to get near him. But every time I would go past, cause I was helping with the bottle service at that table. Every time I'd go past, this one guy was always standing in my way. And like, I would kind of like try and squeeze by him with all the stuff. And, one of the times I squeezed by him, he's like, he basically was like, I'm gonna fucking hurt you, like don't come near me again, like fuck off white boy is essentially what he said. And so I went out back and I was talking to security. I was like, I'm not sure what to do about that. So he went in and talked to the guy, and the guy got kicked out. But he got kicked out and I was still outside.
Oh no.
And he had a knife and he stabbed me, and I it was like, it was in my side. It didn't scar or whatever, but I was like bleeding. And it's just an example of like, you don't have time to think about it. I was like, am I dying? I don't think so. Patched it up and went back to work.
What?
And that's literally
patched up
like,
what? Napkins?
They have like first aid kits and stuff like that at clubs or whatever. That guy disappeared, so they couldn't get him. Like, I saw stuff like that on a weekly basis.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, shout out to all the bouncers out there. You guys are fucking doing the Lord's work. That is.
Some of them are.
Some of you guys are doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, see, I think I stayed away from the night scene because I was doing comedy. So I was doing stand-up, and I would be, like, at a stand-up club, but not, like, at the nightclubs. Like, the nightclubs are scary. And I lived off Hollywood Boulevard, so I would walk to IO West, which is an improv comedy club, and you'd walk past Playhouse to get to IO West. And sometimes I'd have to walk back home alone. And it was during, like, after those shows, it was during, like, when any of the dudes, the nightclub dudes, hadn't found a girl to go home with
and they're
yet.
Scooping.
And I'd been followed home.
Yep.
Like they would surround me. They would all try to get me to go in their cars. Yeah. It was like kind of crazy. And I was wearing like comedy outfit, like hoodies.
Doesn't matter.
I was not wearing nightclub outfits or anything. It, like no part of me was like, hey, I'm looking to go home with someone.
But they're not thinking about you.
right. And it was pretty scary.
I can kind of relate because I play this game called Grand Theft Auto Online and I have a nightclub in the game. And one time I was leaving my nightclub in the game, and it takes you a long time to leave the nightclub because you've got to walk all the way from
your
computer.
You're the squarest person I know.
And for some reason you can't fucking run in the nightclub. Why can't you run in the goddamn nightclub? You only lets you stroll.
Can you cry in the nightclub?
No, you can't. There's no emote for crying. Okay, so I walk outside of the nightclub, and then this guy comes up to me, and he just punches me in the fucking head.
That's really rude.
Yeah, dude, it sucked.
So your story is just like Chris's.
I was trying to get into my car.
Yeah. And
actually, you know, you were talking about before we started filming about like interest in Twitch. There is a Grand Theft Auto roleplay community where like I would love to see you do that.
That sounds amazing.
You could play a nightclub owner and it's all like improv and you can like take the persona, like build
Chris,
the persona surrounding.
What a gift you've given me today.
I'm serious,
thank
dude.
You. I'm down.
I'm like literally crying thinking about you doing that.
Show me how to do
Grand
how
Theft
to do
Auto
the Twitch.
Theater?
I will do it.
Grand Theft Auto Improv Theater.
It's basically what I do already.
Yeah. Oh my God, please, Steve, please do this.
Fun.
I will help you figure this out.
Help me figure it out. We'll do it.
His only relatability to Los Angeles life is through Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto
this guy does not leave his house unless it's to go somewhere and write.
Yeah, I played a little bit of Grand Theft Auto and like I was like, oh, I know where I am. But then all of a sudden it's like, so it's not exactly accurate.
It's not exactly.
So I'm like, I'm here. Okay, I'm here. Why the
especially
fuck am I?
Especially the Valley.
Hey, you
thanks
tried making
a
fucking city of LA in a game.
No, the Valley.
Man, I wish
got,
they had
the
maps.
Valley got really snubbed.
Good point. The Valley did get snubbed,
the
but you know
got
what?
Snubbed
that's because I think that the developers were biased. You know how you would talk to people and you go, I'm from the Valley, and they immediately go, ooh.
Ew.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Have you been to the Valley in the last 10 years?
Sorry,
asshole?
You're poor.
That's our version of moving to Denver.
Exactly.
the
Valley got fucking tight. I used to live in Koreatown, brother.
Yeah.
The Valley is sick.
Yeah.
The Valley
I
is
always
sick.
Lived in the Valley. I liked the Valley. I lived on the West Side for a while and I lived in Hollywood a few times, but I always lived like Studio City, Sherman Oaks.
Yeah, so Studio City and Sherman Oaks are like the part of the Valley that's chill. Like there's people I think they think of the Valley and like the Valley is really big. It's very huge. And like a lot of the Valley is like auto parts shops and like all this
power lines.
Yeah,
and really
lines
good
and
Mexican food.
Really
right,
good.
True.
Mm-hmm.
But like Ventura Boulevard and like Studio City and Sherman Oaks area is so cute and like restaurants and like you don't have to pay for parking like you have to do in the
it's
city.
Just less
and
stress.
There's like families and
did you know that Ventura Boulevard has the most sushi restaurants of any street in the world?
That makes
I
sense.
It.
I mean, it's a really long street.
It's very long.
But I mean, there's so many sushi spots.
I've only been to sushi on Ventura in the past like 5 years.
Yes.
Yeah, my favorite
like
one is Katsuya in Studio City.
Really?
Oh,
we don't like the Katsuya.
Maybe it's changed. That was like, especially the crispy rice spicy
Have
tuna.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
The one in, not the one in Hollywood,
not
the one in Studio
Ventura.
City.
Like the one.
I went there years
ago. It's like in a strip mall.
Oh. Well, I went there years ago with Ray William Johnson. I didn't.
No. It's
name
a different
drop
one.
Relevant
yeah.
people.
He's right. not relevant.
Jesus.
That was it.
I'll name drop someone relevant, though, eventually.
You didn't have to name drop them.
What are you talking about? I'm just telling you the time that I went to Katsuya
with
Ray William Johnson.
Hey, his dick jokes are on Facebook now.
Yeah.
So.
True.
Also, you got so much clout just now.
Oh,
thank
my
you.
Gosh. Yeah.
One time I went to Disneyland with Mr. Shane Dawson.
Wow.
So I just wanted to name
that's
name. I have a ship name with Shane Dawson. So.
What's your ship name?
Oh, it's Sub Dawson or something.
I think I do too.
We've made like nine videos. And it was all pretty much based around how we all...
He made a ship name with everyone.
Yeah. No, I'm not special. I understand.
Yeah, yeah, but Steve didn't get one.
Oh.
So. I don't. Oh, no, I think it was Stain.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
I did get
oh, that's right. That's
one.
True.
Just saying.
Yeah.
And well, everyone gets one.
Then we did a video all three together, and it was Stanky.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think he had one with our cat, and it was Shanklin. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, he gets around with those names.
Yeah, I thought I was special. Apparently not.
Not happening.
Yeah, we were all name dropping.
Yeah.
So now you live in Denver.
I do.
And you're so much happier.
I am.
I did go to Denver once, and the air is so clean.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how dirty the air
compared
is.
To here is clean.
It's very nice.
Like,
and
it
the
is.
Air, dude, no, but not to hype it too hard, but when you do step out in that Denver air and you just fucking inhale it, it's amazing.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a real smeller. I'm a known smeller. Mm-hmm. By
trade. Known for his smells.
Yeah.
And the smells there are incredible.
That's why I moved there. I was
smells like trees.
I really want somewhere that has a nice smell.
Do you know Brandon Perna?
No.
Oh, he's my friend.
Stop name dropping.
Oh my God, we
very
get it.
Jesus,
Steve, you know people.
Steve, you have
famous.
Friends. Wow.
Okay.
And you've never been to a nightclub except for in GTA.
I used to work with him on the Ray Williams
You drive
show.
A Cooper...
Yeah.
Mini Cooper.
We know everything about your LA lifestyle now.
Cherry red, chili red.
I yelled at Ray William Johnson one time.
Why?
Wow.
He was one of Joe Penna's groomsmen.
Oh, I remember that.
He was not on board and kind of trying to do his own thing. And I was the best man. And Sarah was stressed out. So I was like, let me take care of it. And he was cool once I I was like, hey, this is about one of the most special times in my friend's life. You're going to show up when we say to show up. And he did. And then he showed us his really, really large truck, which made a whole lot of sense.
It was a very big truck.
It was a very big truck. He was very proud of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
Steve wants a big truck.
I do want a big truck, but yeah. I live in Los Angeles. So there's no point.
Yeah. Well, you're in the Valley, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. We have a lot of room out there in the Valley.
Dude, excuse me. Whenever I drive with Richard and he's in his fucking truck, he's got a Ford F-450.
Stop name-dropping all your friends.
Oh, my God.
Right, Richard Bryan, YouTube, full mag.
Wow.
Whenever I drive with him, he's got a Ford F-450, and it's the scariest shit ever because, he's making turns that shouldn't happen.
But does he live in Nashville? Or does he
live
in Tennessee?
He lives in Texas right now. But
Texas?
He drives like a fucking asshole.
But he drives his car out here?
Yeah, he always he always loves the road trip. He doesn't like to fly as much. Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying that, and I drove out here, so.
So yeah, how's the Postmates situation? Because here's my thing. So I was raised in Santa Barbara, and we'll go back there to like on the weekends to visit. Like sometimes we'll stay there for the weekend. It's like an easy getaway. It's like an hour and a half north of here. So for mm-hmm. those of you listening, but it's a beach town, completely different vibe. Everything is like quiet there. It's like it's very, very different than LA. But the thing is like after 8 p.m., the whole town shuts down. Like there's there's like a movie that'll play at like 10, maybe if it's a weekend.
Yeah,
but, like,
there's a Taco Bell. And
Santa
that's
Barbara's
yeah, there's like a Taco Bell.
It's a chill place for like old people.
Right, it's a retirement community.
Yeah.
It's a college town, and it's a tourist town.
Yeah.
So if you're not a college student, a tourist, or a retired, like there's really not a whole lot for the in between people.
Like
yeah.
You don't want to go to a bar. You don't want to go fucking bowling.
If you go to a bar, it's like there's 10 people there. You know, like
yeah.
it's like the night.
Like where'd
scene
the college kids go?
Big. So the college kids stay in this little place called Isla Vista. It's right next to UCSB. And Santa Barbarians don't count that as like Santa Barbara.
Oh wow.
Because
it's considered
so,
hack.
It's actually got the it's got
Ew.
The highest percentage of STDs in California.
Oh my God.
Of that 1 mile square radius.
Yeah, wow.
No, in that 1 mile square radius of Isla Vista.
It's like the Olympic Village
only.
Over there.
Jeez. Yeah, not Santa Barbara, but that
I mean,
that
at
little,
that point, you can fuck as much as you want without a
you're
condom.
You're gonna get the clap.
Everybody has it.
You That's sit true. On a couch, you're gonna get the clap.
I mean, wow. The clap sounds like applause, and I like that.
Yeah. You should go get it.
Go get your applause.
Go get it.
I've had it at one point. It's you just take a pill, you're good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's yeah.
It's but you'll get it if you go there.
You'll get it.
So
Chris gets audiences where he goes.
Yeah, so they have house parties and they'll keep themselves busy with that. But
I see.
They don't like there's no life outside of
yeah. They're not going to Goleta. Just name dropping
well,
that.
It's actually it's in Goleta. Isla Vista's in Goleta.
Okay, cool.
Steve. Just be pretty.
Listen,
yeah,
all I
be
do,
pretty.
I just try to patch together two different things and try to find synergy.
We're proud of you trying.
I'm about synergy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to have Sarah at the Big Frame office used to have a jargon jar. And if anyone said words like synergy or ping, they'd have to put their name in that
buzzwords.
Jar.
Buzzwords.
Oh my
whoever
God.
Had the most, they'd have to spin a wheel and do something embarrassing.
Can you shove this whole city in that fucking jar?
Yes.
It's like, it's like the douche jar on New Girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Steve would have so many names in that jar.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, why?
Because you say douchey things all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, but I do it sarcastically.
I know, but you still do it all the time. You've done it so much sarcastically that I don't even know. It doesn't make a difference to me.
I mean, because, I told you that. Like, when we first started to get, like, a bit closer through the Fantasy League, I was like, I don't know.
We're buds.
If you even like me.
That happens to me a lot, actually.
We figured it out. Like, we're cool. Like, you're one of my favorite people. Same. I tweeted about it today.
You're a good
both
man.
Of you. I
oh, wow. Thank you.
Because you guys are like, plug. Out of the people that I encountered from the community, like, you guys have stayed consistently exactly who you are, which means you're being real.
We try, yeah.
And that's something that's why I left, because I wasn't finding that very often.
Yeah, that's why we'll never be big YouTubers. Yeah.
Well, that's why once I pierced your boy band thing and I found out that you're a good dude.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the same as my friend Josh. Evans, he's kind of got that boy band
Stop
exterior.
Stop dropping
thing.
Your names. Oh,
yeah. Do you
oh
know
God.
How I found him?
How?
Craigslist.
Oh, is that right?
He was forming a boy band.
See, exactly.
And I responded to his ad on Craigslist.
See, you guys should be friends.
And then I met. Yeah. And then I met. We're talking about the right guy who was married to Colleen, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
So, and then I met Colleen separately, and she was talking about him, but I knew both of them. And he was talking about her, and it was like in the beginning of their dating.
Wow.
It was just like a really weird, like.
So
connection.
Once I pierced his like red jacket wearing douche vibe thing, I found a great dude, same as you. But you know, you have to do that whole thing where you actually try to find out about who a person is.
You have to learn about them.
Yeah, which is boring. It's very boring.
That is very boring.
A lot of people don't want to do that. No. A lot of people look at your numbers and then decide if they want to do
That's
that.
That's for sure.
Yes, for yes.
Sure. Yeah, I feel like I could never be a big YouTuber because like they just kiss ass to like whoever's bigger, they get their ass kissed or whatever, and I can't.
Yeah.
Do the kiss ass thing, and then I also like become friends with people based off who they are rather than what their numbers
How
are. And
dare you?
I just can never do. Like,
well, you also have to be relevant system, to 13 to 17 year old kids.
Truth. Yeah.
That's just like the game. Like, that's still the bulk of the audience. Like, I had a really honest talk with my
manager.
At least
it aged up because it was 8 to 13 year olds. Maybe now it's 13 to 17.
Oh,
wow.
No, I think it's always been 13 to 17.
Has it?
Maybe that's where the bulk of the audience is. But, yeah. But I think what's cool, man, is that.
He was about to say something about his manager.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. He basically was like, look, unless you figure out how to like really cater to the main audience that's on YouTube, like you're going to have a tough time.
Yeah.
And I liked that honesty. I was like, you're right.
That's why I'm like, I have accepted that we won't be big, but we'll get to say what we want to say.
Yeah.
that's kind of important. The whole thing. Yeah.
We're aging out. It's okay.
Yeah.
I feel very good about where we're
Me
at.
Me too. Yeah. And I love podcasts because
it's so fun.
Like, I feel like I actually get to have a conversation and the people listening are the type of people that I want to have a conversation with.
And it feels like early tubes again. We're like, we're doing your show today. You're doing our show right now.
Mm-hmm.
And like that early vibe thing was cool.
That's how I feel about Twitch right now. It reminds me of like what VidCon was in like 2010.
Yeah.
It's like there's actually still a community and people support, and you have access to people who run the website that can actually like help grow you and like actually listen to what you have to say.
That's really
so
cool.
So I'm enjoying it for now.
Dude, I will be the Grand Theft Auto. Now that I know about Grand Theft Auto role playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's over, dude.
Did you ever meet Seer? A guy named
Seer.
He's huge in that community.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You guys are such name droppers.
Well, this is relevant to the conversation.
I know, but I do know Seer.
But yeah, like what I was saying before I came on here, like with the podcast stuff, like I've known you guys for a long time and I like listening to your podcast because I like hanging out with you and that's what it sounds like.
Oh, thank you.
It's just like we're at the draft and we're talking shit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, we're all in the same fantasy football.
Yeah,
we are.
Yeah.
For 10 years now, or 9 years.
Yeah,
or something.
And like usually me and Steve are in the playoffs, and Nikki, I don't know what happened to you last year.
David
Johnson.
That was 2 years ago. But yeah, last year.
2 years ago?
Last year was about matchups for me. Mm. So I played all the teams right before they fell off. So like, I played Kevin's team when it was really good. And
Kevin
Bruick. And then he fell
Kevin's
off.
Kevin's a huge stoner, known as being a stoner on YouTube.
He's never good.
Yeah, but like that week he got 150 points.
Of course.
And so my matchups were consistently awful where I would score a lot of points, but it didn't matter.
You usually like, and I knew that was going to happen with you this season where like you started off kind of slow, but your numbers were high, so you were probably going to be okay.
Well, the first game I was supposed to win, and then Joe Beretta won by 0.01 points. 0.01.
You were praying for a stat correction. Like, let's run, please.
I lost my wide receiver. In the first week, against Phil's team, and Phil beat me by fucking 150 points.
I'm just really annoyed that Phil wins anything because he wins in life.
Yeah,
can you give me this, please? Just
Phil, you're already rich as fuck. What do you need our money for? You need our shitty $150?
I know.
Piece of shit.
He was the one that made it 200 this year.
God.
I know. I agreed to
it. I know. You agreed.
Because usually I make it to the playoffs, but I don't think it's.
I know, Chris.
So now I got my 70. No, at this point, I think OMG is at like. 82 cents right now.
Yeah, it's killing it.
So I probably at this point.
Well, I'm in second place. I'm about to take him down.
Okay, well, enjoy that.
Chris, yeah, I'm just kidding. I think that we fucked ourselves with the juju because you and me during the draft were talking about how we're always hashtag in the conversation every year, which is what pundits always say about teams in football. They're like, oh, you know, these guys are really always in the conversation, always like in the talk when you're talking about top teams in the NFL.
So now your panic button.
Yeah, I'm like fuck fantasy. My name is fuck fantasy football.
You're fuck
fantasy. And your name is
projected 2-2-12.
Yeah,
and
fucked.
I won the first two games, and then I lost the next two games. Yep. So,
and you're projected to lose this weekend. I'm projected to lose this weekend.
Yeah,
it's exciting times, everybody, for fantasy football.
Just figure out how to take Phil down. That's all I really ask.
That's all I want.
I could. Anyone else could win except for Phil.
We need trade collusion. I'm asking.
Maybe
for
we
it.
Shouldn't have talked about this publicly. But.
We can cut it.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Well. Anyway, thanks so much for joining. Oh my god, I can't believe the hours gone by.
Like Chris says, this is just like we're hanging. Hanging with your friends.
I knew this was going to be easy, and that's why I knew. Like sitting down with you and got like, because initially it was just, I didn't know I was going to be on your podcast. I thought you were just going to be on mine. So I knew it was going to be like easy to just like sit and talk the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
I kind of want to talk to you guys about what it's like to do this business, but be a couple.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, I know that's
so
gotta
tune into Chris's podcast because that's what we're going to talk about.
It's on iTunes or no, iTunes, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcast. It's called Unfiltered Friends.
Unfiltered Friends.
Yeah. So
with Chris Thompson?
No, just Unfiltered Friends. The logo is my face, so I figured they'll figure it out.
Wonderful.
So look at this on our YouTube channel, so you can see what his face looks like. And you can find the logo.
Yep.
All the info will be in the description.
He looks
as
like a
well.
Hollywood Highland Ricky Martin.
Yes, that's why his
Hollywood.
Name was separate.
You went Hollywood, and then you. So this is like you a Hollywood Highland Ricky Martin.
No, like
that's
you
the
know
cross
when you're on when you're outside the Grammys Chinese
Theater.
Those people who never made it and slightly resemble.
They're like,
you know what I'm
they play Spider-Man, and they play
There's a documentary about one of those guys.
I watched it.
It's so
I watched it too,
about
the Superman guy.
Really sad.
Yeah.
But sad.
Kind of wonderful.
But he's having a good time. So
as long as he's having
fine.
A good time.
Because my favorite was the violent Batman guy, who's like, I will. Hey, we take photos for tips. Okay, we're here for tips. Okay. And he starts like beating people's asses if they don't tip him.
I saw SpongeBob get into a fight on Hollywood Highland with Chewbacca.
What?
Dude, yeah.
See, Bumblebee. That's why you can't make the shit up.
Yeah,
like,
you
it's
can't.
Just fun.
It's a weird place.
Dude, Bumblebee fucking hates me.
What?
Yeah, because I kind of took over Hollywood Highland one day with a group of 52 Spider-Men. Because I wanted to corner the market on Hollywood Highland Spider-Man, because there's always at least two Spider-Men there, and they're kind of pissed at each other because they're like, hey, fuck you, man, you're taking all my photos.
And they're kind of melty looking Spider-Men.
Exactly. And they always have backpacks on and shit, and they look gross.
Yeah.
So I got a bunch of actors off Craigslist and shit, and I filled the entire fucking thing with Spider-Man. Like,
whoa.
There's a video of it.
That's so good.
Yeah, thank you. And so, but they were all fucking pissed, and I was going into every photo and like photobombing it with 47 Spider-Men. And Bumblebee's like, you get the fuck out of here. And I was like, I own Hollywood Highland. Hollywood Highland's my town.
This
is my fucking city.
Is this still on the internet?
Yeah.
I need to see this.
Oh, yeah, it's out there. Yeah, you'll see it. Yeah. Look up Steve Green Spider-Man.
All right. Well, and then if you want to email us, you can email us podcast@nikki.limo. And check out our Patreon. We do live streams and all kinds of good shit over there. Other than that, we do a thing called Final Thoughts. Chris, what's your final last thought about moving to LA and moving out of LA?
There are a lot of like wonderful things that can come from this city. I definitely developed who I was, and I can literally handle anything at this point. But be okay with leaving is not failure.
Mm.
Don't stay because of FOMO. Stay because you're doing something that's really like necessary for you to be here. And if you don't need to be here and you're not happy, seek happiness over just being somewhere because that's where you think you need to be.
Truth. Happiness over image of happiness.
Yes.
Right.
Like if you don't feel good and you hate where you are, you can leave. And I think I stayed because I was afraid if I left that people would look at me as a failure.
Oh, interesting.
And you said they did have Postmates there, right? In Denver?
They have. Dude, it's the first place to legalize weed. Every snack and food you can imagine is there, and it's delicious.
But if it's 10 p.m. and I want to get Chinese food?
Yeah, it's a city of over a million people.
Beautiful.
So it's not like.
Okay. Just check it. We got to
yeah.
know that.
Yeah. My final thought is same. I think a lot of people come here and get sad because it wasn't the glittery thing they thought it was going to be, and I think that's how people like slip into, you know, bad drugs and bad things because they're just trying to stay here without like having their like purpose in mind, their vision, you know. But I don't think it's all bad either. No. Like, I really enjoy it. I think you just got to find balance.
Yeah. Find your tribe.
Yeah.
My final thought is fuck this city's traffic.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Fuck a lot of the prices.
Yep.
Okay. But one thing I love about this place is the people that we have met, like yourself.
Yeah.
And our friends at JK and all, and like my friend Michael and all these people. Like, we've met the dopest people in this town and we've made them our friends.
Yep.
And that's what I love about the city, mm-hmm. is that in a town where you really have to drill deep to find like decent people, yeah. you can. And hopefully you can also use them to profit, which yeah. is what I'm doing today. I'm selling ads against having my friend on the show.
I mean, I do respect, I miss a little bit of like the hustle element of here. Like, people are always going, but that gets exhausting after a while. So yeah. finding ways to recharge is what I really
move to
like.
The valley.
But dude, yeah. I mean, that's half of the shit me and Mike, when we're writing laugh
wrapping
about. I'm sorry.
Up,
oh. But that's half the shit that we laugh about is all the fucking full of shit things we heard during the week mm-hmm. of like in the fucking town
yeah.
talk. So, yeah. you know, yeah, it's about finding those great people that
yes.
you can
yes.
meld with. Thanks for listening, everybody.
See you next time. Bye.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of the values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of the values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of the values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.